First, a little lesson in word definitions. Epiphany comes from two Greek words put together. Epi meaning upon or down on, and phanes meaning shine. So to shine down on something is an epiphany. And of course we use that term, and it's traditionally been used to talk about the revelation of God, revealing the divine, shining the divine on the human situation. Now, a couple of hundred years before Christ, there was an emperor in Syria called Antiochus IV, and he renamed himself Epiphanes because he saw himself as divine, just like Caesar would see himself as a god. And but of course, the Jewish people never liked this guy, and so they nicknamed him Epimanes, which means there's a lot of pressure on the brain. You get it, right? So, epiphany is revelation, manifestation, revealing something, but our understanding in Judeo-Christian theology is not so much that something happened for the first time when the revelation is there, but it's just revealing something that always was. So, was there ever a time when God was not present to the world? Of course not. Actually, the incarnation, the mystery of the incarnation, really doesn't begin with Jesus. It begins with the first chapter of Genesis. It's the voice spoken by the Father and creation happened. God spoke and it came to be. And St. John's Gospel begins by saying, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in him and through him, everything came into being. And apart from him, nothing came to be. So the Son didn't appear for the first time in Jesus. He appeared for the first time as the voice of the Father at creation. But of course, that's ongoing, isn't it? Creation continues to happen. The universe continues to expand. New generations of plants and animals and humans, things die and new things come to life. The regeneration of all beings, creation is ongoing. And God is there in the midst of all of it. You know, we're not talking about a God who creates and then looks the other way. We're talking about a God who loves everything he creates. As Genesis says, he looked at it and loved it and saw it as good. And so God is always one with his creation, even though his creation may not know it. The revelation of that truth may not come for many generations, but it's still true. God is the light that shines within every particle of creation and within us. And God has always been within us. And we say, "Oh Lord, come down." As if he weren't here without our asking, you know? Or, "Lord, come into us," as if he weren't always there. You know, that's our language, and there's nothing really wrong with that, but you know, we need to be clear about the truth that God has always been one with his creation. And in fact, that's always been God's design, that this revelation would finally come true, that finally would become realized. And humans, out of all of the creation, are the ones who have the intelligence, the soul, the ability to comprehend what's going on. And yet, even we humans are pretty dull. It takes generation upon generation for us to get it. And so the Old Testament prophets revealed these things in certain ways as people were ready to hear it. And Isaiah, for example, writing 700 years before Christ, we hear that first reading tonight where he talks about this universal salvation, that salvation is not just for the Jews, but it's for the whole of creation. And so they'll come from far and wide, from north and south and east and west, and they'll bring gifts. They'll worship the one God in Jerusalem. But people weren't ready to hear that. It wasn't until Paul took the gospel, the Christian gospel, to the Gentiles against the will of many of the Jewish people. You know, why are you taking this to the Gentiles? What does this have to do with them? This is for us. And isn't there something very human about the inability to celebrate somebody else's good fortune? The inability of the Jews to believe at one and the same time that God had a particular love for Israel and that God married Israel with the passion and the intimate love of husband and wife and times a million. That God could have that passionate love for Israel and yet still love the Gentiles too. How can that be? If he loves the Gentiles, then he must love us less. But see, God's love is infinite, and it can't be limited. And so if God is good to you, does he have to be less good to me? We're not in competition with each other. We're all God's children. But it takes some maturity of faith. It takes the ability to hear that. And so finally, in Jesus' time, the revelation becomes complete. Well, more or less complete. Jesus is, he's not just the revealer, but he's the revealed one at the same time. Revelation is all about God revealing God's self to the world, letting us know who God is and letting us know God's divine, permanent, infinite intention that he be one with all of his creation and that we be okay with that, that we trust that and believe that. Now, we've been taught that all our lives. Our sacramental theology is all about the union between the divine spirit and materiality. We've always been taught and we've always believed that these simple elements of bread and wine become so joined by the power of the Spirit to Christ that they become his body and his blood. And we've always believed, because we've always been told, that that same Spirit hovers over us and we become Christ. And that in baptism, the Spirit of God has been breathed into us and has dwelt there ever since. That God dwells within us. I mean, up here we know that. But we have to hear that spoken over and over again, and we have to see it happen over and over again, and we have to eat it and drink it over and over again so that one day we might fully trust that. And then the final revelation is at the end. You see, Epiphany is not just Genesis 1, and it's not just Jesus 2,000 years ago, and it's not just God revealing God's self to us today, but it's also the final full revelation when he comes again. And so our Eucharistic prayer always mentions our trusting in his coming again, his second coming, because that's when the manifestation, the epiphany of God will be complete, when God will be all in all, when everything will be assumed under the headship of Christ, as St. Paul says, and then handed over to the Father, so that God may be all in all. This union between divine spirit and materiality will be fulfilled completely. In the meantime, it's our job to first of all trust that, to accept it into our own hearts and our own minds, and then secondly, to share that truth. You know, Paul gave his life to the project of sharing that good news, that this revelation that wasn't clear to people in past generations is now clear, and he gave himself to that. And so generation upon generation, parents teach their children, parishes teach the children, preachers like myself keep saying it over and over again in different ways, so that gradually the openness of that truth might be really within our hearts.